Good morning. Today's Daf Mamatzia is Dal, the third day of the Masechta. We're going to be going over two statements of Rabbi Chiya. The first statement of Rabbi Chiya we were introduced to yesterday. The second one is going to be introduced to today. And that's our Daf today, in summary. But that's not enough information yet to really understand what we're talking about. So what are we talking about? Statement number one of Rabbi Chiya, and that is the following. We know, before we get to Rabbi Chiya, so we know there's what's called a Shvuah Mod B'Miksas. Somebody makes a claim against you, $100, and you say, I don't owe you $100. I do, however, owe you $50. So that's Mod B'Miksas. That you admitted partially to it. Okay, good. You admitted partially to it. And now what? So now the Torah says that, on the part that you're denying, you have to swear. And you have to now go to court and you have to make a Shvuah that you don't owe the additional $50. Okay. That's the Shvuah Mod B'Miksas. How many Shvuahs are there in the Torah? The answer is three. Three Shvuahs that are in the Torah. Eid Echad, one witness makes a claim against you. That's one. Shvuah Sepikadon. You were entrusted to watch an item, and you now are swearing that you're not liable for the item, because for whatever occurred, you're not going to be liable for. And finally, number three is Modeh B'Miksas. Okay, in the Masechta called Shvuah, so there are numerous other Shvuahs that are made. Those are all rabbinic institutions. But as far as the Torah is concerned, so those are the three of the Torah. That's so far so good. That's right now. That's what's called ABC. Those are the basics. And then having gone through the basics, now we go to yesterday's daf. And yesterday's daf, Rabbi Chiya taught us that let's say there was a claim made against me, and that is that I owe 100. And I say, what do you mean 100? Zero. I don't know you a thing. I don't know you a blessed thing. So under those circumstances, so the halach is that I don't have to make a shvuah. That's what's called kofar hakol. I've denied everything. However, along come witnesses, a pair of witnesses, and the witnesses say that I, in fact, owe half, or whatever, a portion of it. So now when the witnesses come and say that I own a portion of it, so now are we looking at Modeh B'Miksas? So I didn't make a partial admission, but a partial admission was submitted on my behalf based on the Eidim. So now under those circumstances, do I have to make a Shvuah, yes or no? Rabbi Chiya says, yes, you do. You have to make a Shvuah. Why? Because the Eidim can't be worse than your Piv. If you're going to be making a Modeh B'Miksas Shvuah on your Piv, so for sure you're going to be making a Modeh B'Miksas Shvuah based on Eidim. Eidim is better than your Piv. Good. That's what Rabbi Chiya taught us yesterday, and what we look to do is we look to support it. So we have a Kal V'Chomer, and we also have proof from our Mishnah. So the Kal V'Chomer, we're working our way through the Kal V'Chomer. That's what we're in the middle of discussing right now. And then proof from the Mishnah, so what we said yesterday, and hold it because we're going to come back and we're going to do it again. And try to ascertaining how there could be proof from our Mishnah for this halacha, Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so the first part of today's daf is that we're going to finish this idea of Rabbi Chiya, that it's Modeh B'Miksas, created by, not by you, but by Eidim, by two witnesses, and that's also Modeh B'Miksas. So is that accurate? Is that correct? Are we going to like the Kal V'Chomer? Spoiler alert, no, we're not going to like it. Are we gonna find good proof from our Mishnah? Once again, spoiler alert, no, we're not going to find a good proof from our Mishnah. That'll be the first part of today's daf. So let's continue from where we are yesterday. So the Gemara says, so as far as Elam Alapiv, Shekein Enabach Hashav HaZama. So what we're trying to do now is upset the Kal V'Chomer. Meaning, the Kal V'Chomer tells us that if my own admission would result in a Shvuah Modeh B'Miksas, Eidim, which is stronger than my own admission, for sure is going to be subject to Modeh B'Miksas. That's the Kal V'Chomer Rabbi Chiya. Gemara says, "What do you got to be kidding me?" Meaning, Eidim is better than my own admission? You know, when I make an admission, so what happens? Can someone go ahead and contradict my admission? No. If Eidim go and testify about me, can someone contradict their testimony? And yes. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. So the Gemara says, Ela malapip shekein ana b'chashav azama. How can you tell me the Eidim is stronger than my own admission? It's not true. So Ella asked me, so the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. Your point is so well taken. So let's not use a Kal V'Chomer going from Eidim. Let's go Eid Echad. Okay, let's learn from Eid Echad. So ma Eid Echad shein mechayv mamon. So the mechayv shvuah, Eidim she mechayv oso mamon, eino din she mechayv oso shvuah. So the Gemara says that, you know, when it comes to Eid Echad, so Eid Echad is not going to be Mechayv Yumamon, but it is going to be Mechayv Yoshua. Eidim, two witnesses which are going to be Mechayv Mamon, for sure going to be Mechayv Yoshua. Okay, good. So that now is the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer is not being learned from your own admission. Your own admission is better than Eidim, so it's not a good Kal V'Chomer. So we're going to learn it from Eid Echad. So we're going from Eid Echad to two Eidim. So the Gemara says, really, that's fascinating. Male Eid Echad, Chikain, Amashu, who made, who nishba. So Tomer Be'edim, Sha'amashu, Kafar, who nishba. So the Gemara says, once again, that's a wild leap. In other words, when it comes to Eid Echad, so I go ahead and say, I don't know you. And my towing says, of course you do. And I'm going to bring one witness that says that you owe me. He brings in one witness comes to court and submits. He owes. Okay, great. And now what do I have to do? I have to make a shvua. I have to make a shvua on what the one eid says that I owe. Okay. Now let's go to Shtayim. Let's go to two eidim. Now again, two eidim are not testifying that I owe the money. If they testify they owe the money, obviously I have to pay. The two eidim say that I own part of it. Okay. And now what do I have to do? According to Rabbi Chiya, I have to make a shvua. Well, that's fascinating. What am I making a shvua on? The part that the eidim say I owe? No. The part that the eidim say I owe that I have to pay. I'm going to now have to make a shvua on the part that the eidim are not testifying about. Ein odoma. That's exactly the Gemara's point. It's not comparable. On the one eid requiring me to make a shvua, I'm making a shvua on what the one eid is saying I owe. On the shtayim, I'm making a shvua on the part that the eidim say I don't owe. That's simply not comparable. Okay, it's not comparable. So El Amara Papa, so we're on the top of Dalam Adalev. Asi me Gilgul Shua Deid Echad. So the Gemara says, we're going to learn it from Gilgul Shua Veid Echad. Gilgul Shua Veid Echad, what are we talking about over here? So first, the idea of Gilgul Shua, an idea that we've covered numerous times before. And that is that if there is a requirement for me to make a Shua in a Torah, so now the person making a Tain against me can just simply pile on. Okay, so there is an allowance for piling on once I'm already required to make one shvua. So now the Torah can say to me, oh, by the way, as long as you're making a shvua, I have this claim against you and that claim against you and that claim against you. So now this is what's called Gilgul Shvua by Eid Echad. So the Gemara says, so we can learn this halacha, Rabbi Chiya, from Gilgul Shvua. Gemara says, really, you can? Mala Gilgul Shvua de Eid Echad, Shekein Shvua Garer Shvua. So Tomer Be'edim Damamon Kamechayve. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Gilgul Shvua, yes, you're allowed to pile on. But you're piling on because there's already a Shvua that we're looking at. So once there's one Shvua, so the Torah allows for now a second, third, and however many more Shvuas to be added on top of that. But over here, once again, what are we looking at over here? There is no starting Shvua. In other words, what we have over here is Eidim say that I owe money. Not the full amount, but in other words, a part of the amount. And so now it's not the Eidim that started the Shvua going. In fact, the entire question is there a Shvua to begin with? Yes or no? It's not the same as Gilgul Shvua from Eid Echad. So the Gemara says, okay, so what are we looking at over here? So what we're trying to do is trying to generate the halacha of Rabbi Chiya. Again, because I know this part, I know it's confusing. Rabbi Chiya says over a halacha that if a claim is made against me and I deny everything and then witnesses say that I owe part of it, so Rabbi Chiya says, that's moda b'miksas. That's moda b'miksas. And therefore, I have to make a shvua. Okay. So, on this now, we're trying to wrap our heads around, how is this moda b'miksas? Meaning, I didn't make an admission. Ada made the admission. So, how can we call this moda b'miksas? So, the Gemara says, well, what we try to do is that we try to learn it from your own admission. If your own admission, you have to make a shvua to Adam. It's the same thing, right? It's even better to Adam. Gemara says, no, it's not. To Adam is not better than your own admission. Two Eidim are hazamable. Your own admission is not. Okay. So so it's not better. So then the Gemara said, well, okay, fine. So we're not going to compare it to your own admission. You know what we're going to compare it to? Eid Echad. Gemara again says, okay, you're going to compare it to Eid Echad. How can you compare it to Eid Echad? They're not the same. So the Gemara says, okay. So pivot yochiach. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to try to do. And that is that we're going to try to blend it together. In other words, what we'll do is we'll take Eid Echad and we'll couple together with Piv. And between the two of them, we'll arrive at a conclusion that Rabbi Chiya was right. So the Gemara says, Piv Yochich, Malapiv, Shekein and Abba Chasha. The Gemara says, I'm going to remind you that your own admission, no one can contradict your own admission, Eid Echad Yochich Shiesh and Abba Chasha. Umechai Vashvua. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm now going to be working, bouncing between the two of them. This is what's called a Mahatzad. We do this all the time throughout Shas. So we'll start with Piv. Piv is not hazamable. Now, okay, we'll bounce back to Eid Echad. Eid Echad is hazamable. So the Gemara says, Mala Eid Echad, Shekein Amashe, Heinu, Hu Nishba. Tomer Be'edim, Sha Amashe, Kafar, Hu Nishba. So the Gemara says, yeah, by Eid Echad, I'm making the Shvua against the claim. By Shtayim, I'm making the Shua on the part that is not in the claim. So the Gemara says Piv Yochiach. So I'll bounce back to Piv. V'chazer adin lo rizeker rizeh v'lo rizeker rizeh. Hatzad hashav v'shabem sh'ai deitana kfira hin ba'in v'nishba. Af ani avi edim al yedeitana ukfira hin ba'in v'nishba. So the Gemara says, so I'll use a mahatzad. I'll take Piv. I'll take Eid Echad. I'll put them together side by side. And the tzad hashav, the common denominator between them, is that there is going to be a shvua. So by shtayim, there is going to be a shvua. So the Gemara says, Mala tzad hashav v'shabem shekein lo huchza kafran. So tam rabbi edim shekein huchza kafran. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. When all said and done, even with the tzad hashav, in other words, it can't compare to two witnesses. Why? Because let's go with Piv. Let's go with your own admission. Are you a liar? Not necessarily. In other words, someone makes a tine against you, you owe 100. I say, no, I only owe 50. At this point in time, stop right there. Are you huchza kafran? Are you proven to be a liar? No. No. No, you're just simply saying you're wrong, and here's what I owe, and okay. Now, by Eid Echad, are you also huchza kafran? Again, the answer is no. Right? If someone makes a claim against me, you owe me 100. And the one aid now is backing that claim. And I swear, am I kofir? Am I a liar? No. No. Okay, fine. But now let's go to the case of the two aidim. Right? I owe you, someone comes over to me and says, you owe me 100. I say, I owe you 0. And now he brings in two witnesses and say that you owe me 50. Have I proven to be a liar? Oh, absolutely. In other words, right, my full denial now is being contradicted by the aidim. So even if I take the tzad hashava between Eid Echad and Piv, Eid Echad and Piv are still going to fundamentally be different than Shtayim. When it comes to two witnesses who now attest to the fact that I don't owe 0. I don't owe 100, but I don't owe 0. I owe 50, so I'm proven to be a liar. And now you want me to make a shvua? That's crazy. So the Gemara says, fine. So the, Ela Prichachi. I'm sorry. No, what I just do? I know what I just did. Okay, so Be'edim Shekein Uchza Kafran. So the Gemara says, Uve'edim Uchza Kafran V'amar Avidi Barav and Amar Avchista Akofer B'milva Kashla Eidus V'vikad Nepasal Eidus. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Are you a Uchza Kafran? Are you a Kofer? Are you a liar? Not necessarily. Right? We did this at the end of Bava Kamma, really not so long ago, about a week ago. And now we get to review again, and that is that a denial of a loan, of a monetary loan, does not make you a liar. Per se. You're not pasul eidos. Okay, now, it will come to a point where you're obviously going to be proven a liar, but an original denial, an initial denial to a monetary claim does not make you an automatic liar. Why not? So as Rashi explains over here, I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, but Rashi explains over here, because what you're just doing is you're just buying time. In other words, why did you borrow money? I'll tell you why you borrowed money, because you needed money. And so it's understood. It's baked into a loan, a monetary loan. I'm borrowing money so I could spend it. That's why anyone borrows money. And so now what am I expected to do? I'm expected to pay back. Okay, but it's going to take a minute for me to get new monies to pay back. So it's understood. So it could very well easily be justified. It's not right. I don't need to say it, but I said it. It's not right that you go ahead and you deny a loan. That's terrible. But at least it's understandable.
Some justification.
Right? There's some justification of, look, I'm going to pay him back. I know I have to pay him back. But right now, I don't want to admit that I owe the money because then, I don't know, he'll So I'm just buying time. That's all I'm doing. Yeah. That's it. So it doesn't make me pasul eidos with my initial denial of a loan. Now, Pikadon, on the other hand, Pikadon is a whole different story. Somebody entrusts me with an item and now I deny it. So at that point, what am I doing right now? And Rashi does go through. Now, there are occasions when you want to buy time. For example, okay, I could relate. So I lost the item, and I need some extra time in order to find it. Okay, Rashi acknowledges that there, by a pikadon, there can be circumstances when you're going to buy time, but by a loan, it's always understandable why you would say, I don't have it right now, or better yet, I don't know you. Okay, so it doesn't make you a kofer. So the Gemara says, okay, so even by Shnayim, so you're not necessarily a kofer, we're talking about a loan, Ela Pri Chachi, the Gemara says, okay. But still, Ma'alat Sadashav, Shabem Shekinen, Batar Sazama, so Tamar Be'edim, Shiesh, Batar Sazama. So the Gemara says, well, when it comes to your own admission, not hazamable, a point that we've covered already twice today. And even Eid Echad is not hazamable because you can't be mazim one Eid. In other words, it's the rules of hazama. The rules of hazama is that you can only be mazim two Eidim, not one Eid. So the Gemara says, but meanwhile, by two Eidim are hazamable. Good. So the Gemara says, halokashia Rabbi Chiya Torah hazama lo parach. And what Rabbi Chiya will tell you is, that doesn't bother me. You can't be mazim one Eid? Sure you can. Meaning, I don't mean to confuse everybody. You can't be mazim one Eid. But that's a technical point. You can't be mazim one Eid because as part and parcel of the rules of hazama is that I need two Eidim to be mazim them. But in other words, can we refute an Eid? 100%. Of course you could refute an Eid. In other words, it won't be through Torah's hazama. In other words, all the rules of hazama, v'asisim lo kasher, hazama l'asos achiv, and retribution and karma, and you're right. In other words, from that standpoint, one witness is not hazamable. But in other words, but can you negate the testimony of one witness? Absolutely you can. So at this point never bothered Rabbi Chiya. Okay, so we've been pulling on this thread now since yesterday, and we're finished pulling on the thread. And that is that this idea of Rabbi Chiya, where a person makes a claim against me, I deny everything, and now witnesses come and say that I owe part of it. So is this Moda B'Mitzas? So Rabbi Chiya says, yes, it's Moda B'Mitzas. Really? It's Moda B'Mitzas? So that really now is the thread that we've been pulling on since yesterday's daf. Yeah, it's very similar to Modem and Mixas. In fact, it's nearly identical. Well, when I say nearly identical, what we then had to do is that we had to pull from Piv and we had to pull from Eid Echad and Piv and Eid Echad. So that will demand a Shvua. Two Eidim are going to demand a Shvua. Yeah, but they're not exactly comparable. Yeah, but it's close enough. And okay, fine. So we had to pull on that thread. After having pulled on the thread long enough, so is Rabbi Chiya's argument sustained? My take of the Gemara, yes. the argument has seriously been, it's been hit upon. It suffered a little bit of damage along the way, but is the argument sustained? It seems that way. But now we get finally to the end of the string that we're pulling on, and oh, by the way, and our Mishnah proves it. Right, and if you remember yesterday's daf, our Mishnah did what? Yeah, sure, it proves it. Because what's happening is that I'm making a claim on the entire garment. That's our Mishnah here in Bava Metzia, the first Mishnah. I made a claim on the entire garment. But you're holding part of it. So you holding part of it is like, remember this is a comparison we made yesterday, is like Adam coming along and saying, it's Anan Sahade. It's like Adam coming along and saying, part of it I'm going to have to admit to. Okay. So it's Moda B'Mitzvot via Eidim. Now, I have to admit, it's a stretch. As we're stretching the garment over here, thank you. As we're stretching the garment over here in two different directions, this argument also is a bit of a stretch. That the part that you're holding on to is like Anan Sahadeh. And so therefore, and what did our Mishnah say? Now what do I have to do on the remainder? Shavua. Right? So this is the din of Rabbi Chiya. The Gemara says, now when you think about it, in other words, put a little more spotlight on this argument, the Gemara says, no, this is really not going to work. Elag dekamer v'tana tuna midami. That's not comparable to our Mishnah. So ha'san l'mal v'yisleh sahadeh lo v'yisleh sahadeh. Right? Skip the next five words. Di ha'vilu sahadeh lo lova. Skip the next five words. Lo by Rabbi Chiya li shtabuye. Hacha ki hecha da'anan sahadeh b'hai. Anan sahadeh b'hai afilu hachi mishtabeh. So Gemara says, look, what Rabbi Chiya was talking about where there are witnesses to one side, meaning in Rabbi Chiya's case, it's a classic Moda B'Mitzvos, but with Eidim. In other words, I have a person making a claim against me. I'm denying. Now, it happens to be I'm denying everything, but witnesses say they owe part of it. Okay, but that's it. In other words, I don't have counter witnesses. It's one set of witnesses. And if that were, and if our mission wanted to create a comparable case, one person would be holding on. Because again, the holding is considered Anan Sahadeh. But in our Mishnah, how many people do I have holding on to the garment? Two. Each one holding on one side of it. So in other words, and again, if the holding is like witnesses, I have an Anan Sahadeh from him, I have an Anan Sahadeh from him. It's not the same. They're not comparable cases. Okay, so, as much as Rabbi Chiya, now, Does that mean that Rabbi Chiya is wrong? Not necessarily. All it means is that no proof can be gained from our Mishnah. Ad kan, that takes us now to the first part of today's daf, where we have now concluded analyzing Rabbi Chiya Kamaisa, Rabbi Chiya's first statement. So again, now just quickly to recap, in the event that a person makes a claim against me 100, I say, I don't owe you, I owe you nothing. Thank you. Zero. And witnesses come and say, no, you actually owe 50. So is that going to be a case of Moda B'Mikzas? Am I going to have to make a Shvua? Yes or no? So Rabbi Chiya says, yes, you're going to have to make a Shvua. That's Moda B'Mikzas. It's a version of Moda B'Mikzas. And so, in the course of yesterday and today's daf, number one, what's the argument? So, number one, Rabbi Chiya made the argument. It's a mematzinu with using a tzara shava of piva neid echad. If you understood that's amazing, because that really is a summary of his argument. And then, what about proof from our Mishnah? The Gemara didn't love it, meaning that you could use our Mishnah as a proof, but the Gemara says, but it's not comparable. Okay. So now we are up to part two of today's daf, and that's going to be Rabbi Chiya's second statement, which is the following. Also, a moda b'mitzas halacha. Amar Rabbi Chiya manali b'yadach v'ahal amar ein lecha b'yadi alecha mishim zuz v'heilach chayav. Okay, so here now, our second moda b'mitzas halacha of the day. This is Rabbi Chiya version number two, a second statement to Rabbi Chiya, and that's the following. You come along at me and you say, I owe you $100. And I say, what are you talking about? I don't owe you $100. I do owe you $50, but wait one second. Stay right there. Reaches into my pocket, takes out a $50, hands it to him. Hey, look, here's the $50. Okay, now go away. Okay. Sorry. Obviously, I'd like to, in general, generally speaking, I like to be a little more respectful. But you understand. Hey, look, is basically, and we're done. And what Rabbi Chiya now is saying is, no, we're not done. This is moda b'miksas. In other words, we're not finished yet. In other words, I appreciate you admitting that you owe 50, and I even appreciate that you paid me immediately. But wait one second. We have still some score that we need to settle. I said you owe me 100, so there's another 50 that you owe me. Let's go to court. You're going to make a shvuah. And Rabbi Chiya says that even in the case of Halech, we're going to have to go to court and make a shvuah. Now, already what you're hearing, if you're listening carefully, is there's another side to this, isn't there? Sure there is. But before we get to the other side, my time, Halach Nami, Kemoda B'Mikzas, Hatana Dami. So as far as Rabbi Chiya is concerned, Halach is no different than Moda B'Mikzas. Meaning it's just, I'm not only being Moda, but, in other words, I'm admitting and I'm paying. But okay, but admitting and paying is no different than just admitting. And it's a partial admission. And we're going to go to court and I'm going to make a shvuah. So far, so good, right? What would be the counter argument to that? You don't have to go that far. You could just stay right here and look at Rashi. Look at the Rashi Chayev. Chayev Lishav Al Ashar. So, right, if you want to find me in the Rashi, it's four wide lines down. So Rashi writes that you're going to be Chayev to have to make a shvuah on the rest. Velo Amrinan. And here's what we're not going to say. You understand what Rashi's doing over here. In other words, I'm giving you the counter argument. Now, the counter argument is really important in general, by the way. In other words, when you hear an argument, you also want to know, how could you counter that argument? That's part and parcel of learning. And on top of that, in a moment, we're going to learn that Rav Sheshes argues. I know how can Rav Sheshes argue with Rav Chiya. Rav Sheshes and Amar, Rav Chiya is a Tana, but as we've covered before, Rabbi Chiya is kind of on the border. Okay, anyway, Rav Sheshes is going to argue, what's the counter argument? So velo amrinan. So Rashi says, here's the counter argument. Hani de kamodi le begavayu holvistu beinayu keman de nakit lehu dami. The truth of the matter is, we're going to hear this in the Gemara, but the wording of Rashi, right? So it's so sharp, it's so crisp. When I give you the $50, right? You say I owe you 100, and I say no, 50. Here it is. Basically, you know what? We are not even litigating the 50. That 50, here it is. There's no litigation of the 50. Now let's review.
How is this different from Moda B'Mikzas?
Moda B'Mikzas, I just simply admit it, and I'm not handing it to you immediately, and so now we're going to go to court because I claim 100, he claims 50, swear about the other 50.
But in this case, you're also admitting, but then you're paying right up. But
good.
So what's
good. So you're saying over Rabbi Chiya. Perfect. The counter to that would be, as Rashi over here explains, is that when I hand you the 50 right away, basically now I've taken that off the table. I've taken it off the table. The language of Rashi, it's going to be the language of the Gemara. It's like you were holding that 50 the whole time. So even though you came at me with a claim of 100, you really were coming at me at a claim of 50. And what I'm doing is I'm denying you 50. So in other words, this is called for a call. Let me finish the Rashi. The rest of the Rashi now is going back and defending Rabbi Chiya. Anyway, but the point is over here is that when the case of Halach, when I hand you the money, basically what we've done is I've reframed your claim. You claimed 100. No, you didn't really claim 100. Right? 50 of that 100 you've been holding in your hand the whole time. I know it was in my pocket. But my halach, my forfeiture of it immediately means basically it's off the table. It's over. Now, let's review. What do you claim against me, 50? I deny all of that. It's a kofar bakol. You don't swear by kofar bakol. Okay, go ahead.
Really, moedim amitzis is when he's moedim on half, yeah. But he doesn't have the money with him.
Correct. So the Gemara says like this. So my time of moedim amitzis, I'm sorry.
It's as if
he
has the money,
then it's halach.
We're saying the same thing.
The entire claim is only about 50.
Okay, let's continue. So my time, I halach nami kamoda ben mixas hatanadame. So according to Rabbi Chiya, so it's the same thing as moda ben mixas. Again, now don't get confused because again there are going to be two arguments. There's the Rabbi Chiya argument, the Rav Sheshes argument. We haven't even seen Rav Sheshes yet. So right now, pretend like we don't know Rav Sheshes. Right now, all we know is Rabbi Chiya, and according to Rabbi Chiya, this is moda ben mixas. So the Gemara says v'tanatuna, and not only is that moda ben mixas, again our Mishnah proves it. Wow, that's a big statement. So how does our Mishnah prove it? Our Mishnah is not talking about moda b'mixas. So again, shnayim ochzim metalis and so forth and so on. And yeah, you're right. And we all know the Mishnah. So first Mishnah b'mitzia. So and each one of them is going to be making a shvuah. V'hacha kevin de tafis anzadi deman de tafis heilachu v'ktan yishava. And once again, we're going to have to stretch a little bit over here. We're stretching the garment. We're going to be stretching about an argument, right? When I am now holding on to part of that garment. So that part of the garment that I'm holding on, it's like halach. I'm going to concede it right away. Even though I'm making a claim on the whole thing, I'm going to have to concede the part that you're holding. And again, the part that you're holding may represent 50% of it. Okay, but you understand. Part of it already is up for concession almost immediately. Halach. And yet, what do I have to do now in order for me to collect the rest? I have to swear. Oh. So there's a halach and there's a shvua, right? So the Gemara says, "Vikatan yishava." Rav Sheshes amar halach pater, and now Rav Sheshes will tell you, "Nah." In the case of halach, you're going to be pater. So my time, I came and amar le halach ani zuzit dekamo debegavah kamandana kelu be milvadame. So over here, when you say halach, it's as if the tone is holding that money. It's like he's held it the whole time. I told you the language is going to be found in the Gemara right here. I want to reread it. It's important, obviously. Kemanda nakit lehu milva dami. It's like the milva was holding that money, never really making a claim on that 50. And so beina chamishi halamod dehelkach lekahoda mixas atana. And so now, really, what is this taina? His taina really is not 100. I know he said 100, but it's not 100. His taina really was 50. And what are you doing? You're denying 50. It's kofar bakol. You don't swear in kofar bakol. So the Rav Sheshes Kasha Masnisa. Now what about the Mishnah? Wasn't the Mishnah such a great proof for Rabbi Chiya? So Amalecha Rav Sheshes Masnisa Tekanas Chachamini. So Rav Sheshes will tell you, what are you bothering me with the Mishnah? You and I are having a moda b'mixas discussion. That's a shvuah d'oraisa, and now you're introducing a Mishnah in the first Mishnah b'mitzia having nothing to do with a shvuah d'oraisa. It's a takana d'rabanan. So the Gemara says, you know what? I'll grant you it's a takana derabanan. But in other words, we all know the Chachamim don't manufacture halacha. In other words, what they do is that they start with the dinam of the Torah, and they scaffold off of that. So in other words, the only way that you can have a shvuah derabanan only if it's scaffolded off of a shvuah d'oraisa. In takanas Chachamim But you have, there has to be a starting point. Meaning, if the halacha were a moda b'mixas of halach would be chayef. If that were the halacha, like Rabbi Chia says, so then I can understand our Mishnah, I'm with you. Our Mishnah is a shvur de Rabbanan. But at least it has a basis of what to work off of. It's similar to halach, and the Chacham Legislative Institute of shvur de Rabbanan over here, it's like halach. It's like it. But according to you, Rav Sheshes, where in the case of Halach, you're not Chayav Shvua. So then, what's happening in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is a Shvua de Rabbanan, but it has no basis. It doesn't have an Iker mid Araisa.
So it means, how can Rabbani impose a Shvua when the mid Araisa there's no basis for it at all?
Correct. Very good. Okay, so Meisvei, the Gemara now is going to challenge. So where are we right now? So this is the second part of today's daf. We're in the middle of a machlokas between Rav Chia and Rav Sheshes in the case of Halach. So the Taina was that I owe 100, and I say, no, I don't. I only owe 50. Right now that looks exactly like Moda Bimixas. That is Moda Bimixas. But then immediately what do? I reach into my pocket and I take out $50 and I give it to him. Halach, here it is. And so now, is it still Moda Bimixas? Rav Chia says yes, and Rav Sheshes says no. Good. And we just went through the svaras of both of them. And our Mishnah could serve as a proof for Rabbi Chia, maybe yes, maybe no. And now for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to bring in a brisa. And this brisa over here now will do exactly what we expect it to do. Be a little bit ambiguous and maybe make a case for Rabbi Chia, maybe make a case for Rav Sheshes, you know. We're going to this will be the conclusion of today's daf. Silaim. So over here, Silaim Dinarim. Okay, so I have a note against you. Okay, an actual note. Okay, and I lent you money and now you owe me. Now, whoever wrote the note, by the way, didn't do a great job because on the note, what does it say? It says that the lova owes silaim. Okay, so it says in the plural. Now, what would be extraordinarily helpful over here is had there been a number attached to it, right? Usually on a loan document, you'd like to know how much money was lent. Okay, no, it says silaim. So Hamava Omer Chamesh Velovarma Shalosh. So the Malva says there were five. The Lova says there were three. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Hol V'Hoda Bemikzas Etana Yishava. So according to the Rashba, I say the Rashba over here. That's code for Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. But I'll just say the word Rashba over here, not the Rishon, the Tana. So the Rashba says this is the case of Moda Bemikzas, right? And it is. The claim is five. The counterclaim is three. It's moda b'miksa. So far, so good. And Rabbi Akiva Amrein ola kemeshav aveda upater. And Rabbi Akiva says, "What are you talking about? Moda b'miksa? It's not moda b'miksa. It is hashavas aveda." Now, I have to admit, by the way, it's a bit of a stretch. It's not hashavas aveda. Right. How do you understand Rabbi Akiva? But in other words, it's hashavas aveda because there is no number over there on the document. So the fact that you're copping to anything, that's amazing. It's like Hashavas Aveda, right? In fact, it's Kim Meshiv Aveda. That's the language of Rabbi Akiva, right? In other words, what we're going to do is that we're going to have a parade. I'm dramatizing. We're going to have a parade for the Lova, right? This guy's amazing. We're going to give him a statue. We're going to make him a statue. No, we're not. So that's a Vodazara. But we're going to make a big deal about it. We'll honor him at the dinner. Okay. Because there was no amount over there, and he said that I owe three. It's Hashavas Aveda. You don't have somebody doing Hashavas Aveda making a shvua. That's crazy. You honor him at the next shul dinner. Okay. So Ketanim, good. So now, obviously, so this is Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not, in a case where the note said had no number to it, it had the word Salayim, and the Malva says five, and the Lova says three, so is there going to be a shvua of Moda B'Mikzas? Rashba says yes, Rabbi Kiva says no. So ketanim yes, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Hol v'Hoda b'Mikzas Itani Shava Taima Damar Shalosh. So now let's start with our diuk. Over here, what was claim? What was counterclaim? Claim was you owe me five. Counterclaim is I owe you three. Now, the Braisa was very selective about the numbers that threw out there, five and three. Instead of three, what if the counterclaim were two? Oh, now we're cooking. So hashtayim patur. Now, had it been Shtayim, so presumably the Rashbab would say, there's not going to be a Moda B'mitzah Shvua, right? So, Haishtar Dekamodi Be'helachu, Shma Mina Helach Pater. What a great diuk. So now, had the Lova said two, so you know what two is? Two is the same thing that's written in the Shtar. Because the Shtar said Salaim. Now, we're going to assume that the base minimum of Salaim is two. So he's doing nothing more than just echoing and repeating what the Shtar said. Shtar said two, he's saying two. Same thing. Ah. And so therefore, it's not Modeh B'Mikzas. In other words, it's like Halach. And you wouldn't have to make a Shvua. Such a good deal.
How can we throw in how much in the Baray in this case?
Meaning
the lender has to prove
right.
that it was actually five because the document could be two based on slide. No,
correct. Meaning no, the lender is not going to get his five. The only thing open for discussion right now is there going to be a shvua necessary?
No, but I'm saying, but even if that. It's the burden is on him
we are in perfect agreement.
Okay.
The burden is on him, but in other words, the borrower is not going to have to pay five, but is he going to have to make a shvua on the balance?
No, but if the burden is on the lender, then why would the borrower have to take a shvua?
Any case of Moed B'Mikzas, you can make the same exact point. Right? Think about it. In other words, happens to be I'm so clear in thought, and I'm so, and the few occasions where I'm so correct, it happens. By the way, so over here, so it's not. In other words, there is a burden of proof. So I'm not saying you have to give me five, but I'm saying you do owe me five, and you're only copying to three. So in other words, there needs to be a shvu on the balance, like any Modeh B'Mikzas case. Wait, let's do the following. Let's just stay focused over here on the diuk, because the Gemara is going to be that.
Who defined the
Siloam?
Who presented the definition of
Siloam
first, whether the
Lov or
the
Malv? Again, let's just—that's what I'm saying. Let's keep it simple. In other words, the Malv is a towing, the Lov is a Nitan. The Malv is claiming five. Again, there's no number written in it. Malv is claiming five. The Lov is saying three. The Diuk now is that had the Lov said two, this is Halach. It's a perfect construction of Halach. And presumably, in other words, if we're good with our diuk, no shvua is necessary. So the Gemara says lo. The Gemara says I don't like your diuk. Lo, la olam emelacha shem chayav. No, if he said two, there would be a shvua. V'had diktani shalosh lafuke mid Rabbi Akiva. Darme meishav aved dehave upata kamashmon demodem b'mitzvah satana have v'chayav. Beautiful. And you know why the Bryce went over the example of three. Because what the Braisa wanted to show is that the Rashba argues on Rabbi Akiva, even when you say three. Because Rabbi Akiva is making a strong argument, right? Rabbi Akiva says when you say three, you're a tzaddik. You're amazing. In other words, you didn't have to say three. You could have said two. And you said three. Ha, you're a tzaddik. And the Rashba will counter and say, no, he's not a tzaddik. Meaning, that's his claim. His claim is three. But the Malva said he owed five. In other words, what the Rashba is telling you is that in that case over there, I still think it's Modeh B'Mikzas. That's why the Gemara gave the examples of five and three, just to show you that the Rashba is there la'afuki mid Rabbi Akiva. So ihachi Rabbi Shimon Lazar Amar Hol v'Hodeh B'Mikzas Itani Yishava. So af ze yishava mi ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the whole reason why we chose the numbers five and three. What I then would have preferred the Rashba to have said, the language of the Rashba would be afzeh, even in this case. Not only in the case of two, but even in the case of three, afzeh. So, ela la'olam shtayim pater. So, heilachai v'shani hacha. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? You were right the first time. The diuk is fantastic. In the case of where he said two, he wouldn't have to make a shvua. But it's not comparable to heilach, and I'll tell you why. Shani achad kamasai leishtara. So the Gemara says, because over here, it's not halach, it's better than halach. It's halach plus. Or, just to use my silly language, it's super halach. In other words, when you counter with two, you're not saying anything. In other words, the shtar already is talking. The shtar is already saying two. So when you counter two, it's not halach, it's You just simply didn't say anything over and above what we already knew. We already knew too. Okay. So inami mishum dehavale shtar shibat karkos venishman lakfir shibat karkios. And the Gemara says, and look, even if you don't like that, but when all said and done, we're right. Because the shtar said two. Again, the shtar said salayim. But at its very minimum, at its very basic, it's two. It's distilled as two. Now, what is a shtar? A shtar is shibud karkos, meaning it creates a lien against property. Do you make a shvua on karka? No. Do you make a shvua on shtar, which represents karka? Also no. Okay, good. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us to the end of round one of what we tried to do is we tried to deduce halach from this case over here. Okay, now, ikad most of me seifa. What we're going to do is that we're going to do the same thing again, meaning we're going to start with the brisa, and we're going to see whether or not this brisa could speak to the idea of halach. We're just going to go from the other side of the brisa, meaning from Rabbi Akiva. Up until now, we were focusing on the Rashba. Now we're going to go to Rabbi Akiva. Igud the most we say for Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein Ola Kemesha Vavedo Potter, Taim and Damar Shalosha, Hashtayim, Chayav, Vashtar, Dekamodi Bey, Kehelech Damishma Minashe Elech Chayav. Okay, good. So here now, in our version, our second version, we start with Rabbi Akiva. Now what does Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva says that if the lover would have said three, he's not going to be Chayav Shavua. Why? Again, because he's a tzaddik. He didn't have to say three. He could have said two. He's a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, fantastic. I love it. So the Gemara says that had he said two, then he would have been chayev, even though it's halach. It's tantamount to halach. So the Gemara says, lo. La'olam emelecha, shtayim nami pater. No. No. Rabbi Akiva would even say that you're pater even if he would have said two. V'hai diktani shalosh la'fugat de Rabbi Shimon Elazar da'amar mo'da b'mikzot ha'tana hava v'chayev kamash malan d'meshiv ha'veda ha'veu pater. The Gemara says the only reason why Rabbi Akiva gave the example of three is again lafuke the Rashba, meaning how opposed am I to the Rashba? I'm happy you asked. I'm super opposed to the Rashba. Meaning I think even in the case of three, so there's no shvur required, even though the Rashba will tell you that three, no, there's still going to be a shvur that's required. And hachinami mustabadi sakadatcha shtayim chayev shal shechi patole Rabbi Akiva hay arume kamaram ma'arim. And you know that Rabbi Akiva would pater whether he said three or whether he said two. And I know it's true. Why? Because imagine the halacha for just a moment that two you're chayv a shvua and three you're pater from a shvua. So if that were in fact a halacha, so now the lover will go into court. Okay, and a little bit of coaching over here. Right, I know you owe five. here's now the lawyer coaching our lover right before. I know you owe five, but here's the story. Don't say you owe two, because if you say you owe two, you'd be chayv shvua. Say you owe three, okay? Because under those circumstances, you're not going to be chayv shvua. Right, okay, right, okay, good. According again, if we held like Rabbi Akiva, you got it. Good. Say three. Don't say two. So and that's absurd. Meaning that now, just simply because he went a little bit over the base minimum, so now he's not going to be chayv a shvua, and now he's going to be relieved from having to make a shvua. Okay, wonderful. No, not wonderful. Meaning we don't want that. There can't exist that kind of distinction. It must be that according to Rabbi Akiva, when the shtar does not have a number attached to it, and you go in there, whatever you say is not going to be an example of moda b'miksas. Rabbi Akiva will tell you that you attaching a number to a numberless star is meshiv aveda, period. And therefore, it's not moda b'miksas, so you're not going to be chayv shvua, and wonderful. So now,
even by two,
you're not going to be chayv shvua. Yeah. So alakash la Rabbi Chia, so the Gemara says, okay, so fine. So now, how is that going to now be good with Rabbi Chia? It's not going to be difficult. Meaning that now the way we set up the brisa is that according to Rabbi Akiva, so any amount that you say you're not going to be chayv shvua, you're going to be patros like meshiv aveda, and now Rabbi Chia says that in the case of halach you are chayv shvua. Wait, how is that going to help Rabbi Chia? In fact, not just the opposite; it's going to hurt Rabbi Akiva. chia. Shani hasam dekam esai leishtara. Inami mishum davar leishtara shibat karkaos. Ve'inish ba'am lakfir shibat karkaos. So the Gemara says again, one of two points that we just made earlier. And that is that in the case of the shtar, so number one, we already have a shtar. Meaning over here, you have a toin, you have a nitan. But it's not just a nitan with a counterclaim. In other words, you have a shtar. The shtar already says that you owe money. All you're doing is inserting the number, meaning, of course, we should have had the number to begin with. But all you're doing is now just inserting a number. This is not halach. This is an attachment of a number to a shtar. The shtar is already being messiah you. So that's why under these circumstances, you're like a mesha of aveda, and you're not going to be making a shvuah. Alternatively, what is a shtar? A shtar just simply means that there's a lien against this obligation. And that lien is going to be represented by property. And in terms of property, do you make a shvuah on property? No, you don't. So this is like shibud karkaos. It is karka. And you don't make a shvuah on karka. Okay, so either way. In other words, this case is not comparable to halach. It could very well be that Rabbi Chiya is right. And this case over here is not going to be comparable to halach. We have a minute. Not only do we have a minute, there's not going to be music today. So all things considered, let's continue. Okay, so where are we right now? We're in Rabbi Chiya Bas Raisa, Rabbi Chiya Part 2. Rabbi Chiya says that in the case where the claim was 100, the counterclaim was 50, immediately I give him the 50. So Rabbi Chiya says it's still modeh b'miksas and you have to make a shvua. Rav Sheshes says, no, it's not modeh b'miksas. We gave a svar for Rav Sheshes. But our Gemara today, our daf today, is focused on Rabbi Chiya. On this din of Rabbi Chiya, am I going to have to make a shvuah? Is this considered modeh b'miksas in the case of halach? Right now, Rabbi Chiya says yes. We just went through at length in today's Amud Beis a braisa regarding Rashba, Rabbi Akiva, a note, no number on it. The Toin says 5, the Nitan says 3. Is a shvuah required? Machlokas Tanayim. Is this going to inform us regarding halach? So the Gemara argued that. Gemara concluded, not necessarily. Okay, one more. Meisiv Marzucha Bereder of Nachman. Now this is going to be a kasha on Rav Sheshes. Now Tanu Kelim veKarkos Hoda beKelim veKafar beKarkos Hoda beKarkos veKafar beKelim Potter. Okay, so I have a dual claim against you. You owe me movables and you owe me property. I make an admission to one of the two. This is not a case of Hoda beMixas. Hoda beMixas Karkos Potter Mixas Kelim Chayim. If I cop to part of the karka, I don't have to make a modeh b'miksas shvuah. Because again, you don't make shvuahs on karka. If I cop to part of the kalim, so then this is modeh b'miksas, obviously. In other words, kalim is metaltlin, and if I admit to part of the kalim that I owe you, it's modeh b'miksas. Time of the kalim v'karkaos the karka la b'shvuah he hakalim the kalim dumya the kalim v'karkaos chayav. So now, in the kalim of a kalim, so I'm going to be chayev, even though, right, in other words, the Brisa gave 4 different scenarios, right? Kalim and karka, kalim and kalim, karka and karka. It must be, this is the Gemara's argument, that the kalim and kalim have to be similar to kalim and karka. How does that work? How can kalim and kalim be similar to kalim and karka? Gemara is creative, And does the following. So the kelim v'kelim dumi de kelim v'karkaos chayev. Hechi dami. Lav de amar le helech ushma mina helech chayev. Do you know how kelim and kelim can be similar to kelim and karka? I'll tell you how. Because when it comes to karka, right, I owe you the kelim, but I don't owe you the karka. Or I owe you the karka, but I don't owe you the kelim. Now when it comes to karka, the karka is right there. In other words, it's helech. Right? In other words, I owe you the karka. And it's right here. The karka doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't walk away. So the kalim v'kalim dumya de kalim v'karka must be where? On the kalim that I admit, here it is. It's right here. Ah, beautiful. So in other words, if that's correct, if the comparison is good, so this is a case of halach. And what did the Brisa say? Brisa said, you're chayav v'shvua. Beautiful. Lo lamem lecha bekelim bekelim nami pater v'ad diktani kelim v'karkos. Haka mashmalon hodem emixes kelim chayv af ala karkos. Okay, so the only chiddush of the brisa is that in the case of kelim v'kelim where I make an admission on kelim, so then the shvuah would go even on the karka as well. The Gemara says, really, that's a chiddush. So my kamashbal antanin and a chasim shein la machrayos. I'm sorry, zokikin. Nechasim shein la machrayos. Afa esa nechasim sheish la machrayos. Lishava aleihem. So the Gemara says Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua. Gilgul Shvua means that if I already have you in now making a Shvua, so now all I'm going to do now is I get to pile on. Second time today's daf that we're going over Gilgul Shvua. And even though the piling on is on karka, it doesn't matter. Gilgul Shvua allows me to have you make a Shvua and things that you normally wouldn't be able to make a Shvua on. So hacheikar hasam agav grara nasva. The Gemara says, I know it's Gilgul Shvua. I know we know it already. One time it's coming as the main chiddush, and the other time it's just simply coming incidentally. Okay, but it's still the same point of Gilgul Shvua. Okay, good. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Good timing. Okay, so where are we right now? So two statements of Rabbi Chiya, one going back to yesterday's daf, one on today's daf. The yesterday daf of Rabbi Chiya, and that is that it's modem and mixas, but how is it modem and mixas? Via Edom. He says 100, I say 0, Edom say I owe 50. Are we looking at a Shvua over there? Rabbi Chiya says, yes, we are. And that was yesterday's daf going well into today's daf. And then the second statement, and our Mishnah would support that, but again, it's a bit of a stretch. Right? The garment's being stretched. The argument's being stretched. And then the second statement to Rabbi Chiya is that what if it's modem b'mitzvahs coupled with halach? I owe you 100. You owe me 100. No, I don't. I only owe you 50, and here it is, halach. So is that also going to be modem b'mitzvahs? Rabbi Chiya says, yes, it is. It's modem b'mitzvahs. And Rav Sheshes argues, and he says, no, that's not modem b'mitzvahs. Me handing you the 50 is as if we never litigated that 50. Your claim wasn't really 100. Your claim was really 50. Ah, and I'm denying the full 50. It's not modem b'mitzvahs. Good. And the Gemara went back and forth on this topic for the remainder of today's daf all the way to the end. Sure.